Yes, it's time once again for another podcast with the Agony Uncles. I'm your Uncle Si.
And I'm your Uncle Dave, and we are the Hairy Bikers. When we're not biking, cooking, we're solving. We want you to email us your problems, because there's a good chance that we've already come across them on our travels.
Yes, you might think that doing what we do, me and Dave have just been filming and riding our bikes and eating good stuff, but we've also been and seen many, many things that we simply can't unhear or unsee, and we just might be able to help you. It's easy to get in touch with the show. All you've got to do is email agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. Now, helping us with your problems and trials this week is the budget Alan Didicott. It's the thin white Duke Mark Jeeves.
Yes, hello. Thank you very much for that lovely intro. Nice to see everyone. We should point out at this point that currently Si has got some work going on outside his house. The councillor out there. What happened here? What have you done?
I haven't done anything.
You've caused chaos again, haven't you?
I haven't. I honestly, I just got up at 6 o'clock watching them put the traffic management up because they were very noisy. And I went, "What are you doing, lads?" And they went, "We don't know." I was like, "Hey, oh, well, if you don't know, what chance have I got?" So sorry if you can hear windy picks and men knocking things up.
Yes, well, that's okay. But aside from that, it's another very, very challenging set of issues for you to deal with today.
Oh, hell.
And to give us the posh perspective, you know, the view of the alternative people, here she is, the creme brulee to our Angel Delight. It's Posh Tash.
Oh, well, I do like an Angel Delight, actually, I'll be honest. And I'm not feeling so posh. I look a little bit like a scarecrow, and I think I've got something in my teeth, so I'm not feeling so beautiful at this point. My servants didn't quite come in time for the podcast this morning.
No, and that you need to get a new toothbrush, man. Yeah. Because you've got cabbage in your teeth.
Yeah, exactly. My horse's teeth, as you kindly pointed out once, they need a full-on scrub.
Darling, you look fabulous as
you
ever.
You do, as ever. You look gorgeous. And you haven't got anything in your teeth.
I think I have, actually.
You haven't.
I've been eating my fruit and nut.
That was Lidl's as well, that bag.
Well done.
Lidl's?
Yes.
Oh,
fanfare for the common man.
Get in. Hey, I tell you what, times must be
on. You slipped up then, Tash.
That's it.
I should have had my Fortnum's biscuits out, shouldn't I?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Yes.
Okay, sorry. I'll raise my game next week.
Uncle Dave, woggle your jingly what's it hoo-jaw.
Bing, bong, bing, bong. Bong, bing, bong, bing.
Excellent.
I love it.
That wasn't finished. I felt unsatisfactory. Need another bong on the end.
It was the existentialist version.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy Jack and Ori? Because I heard your advice is the best.
In this week's Simmering Saucepan of Sorrow, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, you're going to be making life better for these problematic problems and issues. We have a curry worry. We have too lazy to dump him. We have the height difference dilemma. And in Confidential Corner, the one-eyed pokey prodder. But we're going to start.
Oh, God. I love Confidential Corner. I just love it.
You're just a pervert.
I know. I can't help it, dude.
Well, we'll get there when we get there. We're going to start with curry worry. This comes from Stu. Dear Hairy Uncles, I love a curry, and I've been trying your various curries since you first appeared on TV all those years ago.
Yeah, all right, Stu, all right, didn't rub it in.
I love all the different flavours that a curry can give you. The thing is, I like them hot, but not so hot that you can't really taste any of the flavours. Vindaloo, as an example, isn't my thing, as it's all about the heat rather than about the flavour. So, in your opinion, what is the hottest curry I can possibly make while still being able to taste all the spices? Thanks, Mimaras, says Stu. Over to you.
Well, Stu, you see, not all vindaloos are created equal. It's not all about heat. It's about the intensity of spice and flavour. And indeed, you can get a curry raging well like a Bangalore Thal but it's still tasty and it's addictive because it's got so much else going for it apart from just being simply hot. An Egypt can make a hot curry. You know, you just put loads of chilli in. It's about balancing everything up. A good vindaloo is one of my favourites. It's addictive.
Yeah. You always used to get... So every time Dave and I used to get a takeaway in various parts of the planet that we've been in and country and each other's homes, Dave always goes, Kingy, get a vindaloo or a fowl. We're going to have it as a bit of a chutney. And it's brilliant because of our relationship with India and curry. It's a bit anglicised some of the times that, you know, some of the takeaways that you get, and then it is all about heat, and then you get this macho nonsense about, oh yeah, I've just eaten a fowl. Well, fowls are absolutely, and vindaloos and anything that is hot is incredibly skilled to make, because as Dave was saying, it's all about that balance of flavour, heat and spice. So that difficult curries to make, hot curries, because you have to get that balance.
Yeah, and it's the wrong way to look at curries and Indian
absolutely
food.
Yeah.
And spice. And very often, like when you go to India, some of the hottest curries I've had have been in the UK, which are done, I think, for Egypts who come in on a Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, and want the hottest curry in the house to show the men. And, you know, it's there must in the kitchen, they must roll their eyes. Oh, God, we've got another one.
I think it's quite funny, you go to an Indian, I know exactly what you mean, a man that goes, you know, I want the hottest one, he goes, oh, guru. But there's nothing more unattractive than sitting in front of a man who is sweating from your pores while you're trying to eat, and, you know, and sniffing. And I just think, no, it's not manly in the slightest. Let's not do it. Go and have something far nicer.
And also, the following day, he's going to be using soft, moist toilet tissues, and he'll not be telling anybody he's doing that either, really.
It's not one for a date, a vindaloo, is it?
No, it's not, no, no.
Oh, vindaloo's good. Vindaloo's good. Yeah. I think it's a much maligned curry, you know, because originally it's got Portuguese origins, you know,
with
wine and garlic, yes. It's and it's got potatoes. It's got vinegar in it as well. And it's a really nicely balanced dish. You know, it's not like... See, a lot of the curries that we used to get before we were educated in this country were just made from one basic gravy. And right. the restaurant would have this basic gravy, and what you answered, if you had a tapioca or tapioca, they'd just sling loads of onions in, you know. Or if it was a Rogan Josh, you'd put loads of tomatoes in.
Yeah.
And adjust the heat, a bit like turning up and down the volume, without little care to actually the profile and the balance of flavours. You know, I think we're past that, though, now in this country.
Definitely so.
Didn't you, Si, this week say this is amazing, you love this amazing curry? You were telling us all about this incredible curry that you have delivered.
It's a friend of ours, a chef called Akhtar Islam. And what he does is, he's got a Michelin star for a restaurant in Birmingham, which is a phenomenal restaurant. But he's the kindest man. But he does Akhtar at home. Which it's the best value Indian food I've ever had in my life.
Fantastic.
And we were lucky enough to get a box from Akhtar this week. I mean, one of his Akhtar at home boxes will feed eight people. There's eight tandoori naans. But the nice naans are not like the snidey ones you get from the supermarket. But I know, Kingy, you got one this week, and they're epic, aren't they?
Well, it's the first, because I know that you've had them before me. And this is the first one that, that I've had. And I was so overwhelmed by the generosity of what was in there for not very much money. It was amazing, and
he has the rest.
It's absolutely amazing. It's amazing. So he has the restaurant, and then Akhtar Islam Afim at home, and because that was what was on. I'm only saying that because that was what was on the box, and it's just the most fantastic experience. It's lovely, absolutely superb.
But he gets his vindaloo right.
Oh, God, he gets everything right.
He's absolutely remarkable.
It's an incredible example of the variety of flavourings and spices in Indian food. You know, it's good. I think it was Tommy Banks, a mate of ours, a Michelin-starred chef from Yorkshire. And Tommy's very, very, very fine British dining, you know, straight from farm to table. But Tommy confessed to us that when it's at the weekends, he sometimes gets a couple of Akhtar at home boxes for the staff, because when they've been cooking all this fancy stuff, they fancy a curry.
Of course they do.
And, you know, they sit down to a good Akhtar.
Perfect.
Like it. Definitely. My father used to be, he loved his Indians, but he was a classic sweat it, you know, sweat it out one. But he always swore by brinjal pickle. Didn't matter what curry you had, you had to have brinjal pickle.
I did
it.
Too. Oh, yeah. Yes. It's and you know, sticky and nice.
As Dave and I well know, that Actor at Home, which is where the delivery boxes come from, he has this really kind of cool employment program to give kids from the inner city areas that wouldn't ordinarily get jobs a chance in chefing and in cooking and in hospitality. And he's a fantastic individual. Yeah, he's really lovely.
During lockdown, you know, producing the boxes, yeah. And I think something like for every box he sold, he gave one away to NHS or key workers.
Fantastic.
You know, he's a proper man, but as I say, on that respect, he's got a Michelin star and a fine dining restaurant, which is epic. But yeah, tell Stu to get an Actor at Home and it'll change his life.
But make sure he's got friends, because he'll need them or he'll never get through it all.
So there you go, Stu. Actor at Home. We're happy to let you know, actoratthome.co.uk. But don't forget, the Hairy Bikers Great Curries book is also available on the Hairy Bikers website, hairybikers.com.
Food makes everything better.
Okay, our next problem is called I Can't Be Bothered to Dump Him. For this, we need one male and one female name. I think, Tash, you haven't given us a female name. Don't make that face. Mm. One female name from Tash, one male name from Uncle Si, please.
I did think about this before we came on, and I was looking at the fruit and nut mix, but there wasn't a name appropriate on it.
What's the name? Little?
I was going to, then I came up with one. I decided Primrose.
Primrose? Very nice.
There you go.
Where did you get that from? Primrose.
I don't know. Do you know what it was? I read sunflower oil. And then I got to primrose because you can't say sunflower. There you go.
Inside the mind of Posh Tash is a wonderful place to be. Oh, gross. So we have Primrose and a male name, Uncle Si.
Adolphus.
They are a great couple.
Primrose.
Yeah, they live in St. John's Wood, don't they?
They do. They do. Get them round for dinner. Right, here we go. This comes from Primrose, who says, "Dear Agony Uncles and the Posh Lady, I've been with Adolphus for a couple of years. We met in a pub at a time when I wasn't really looking for a relationship, and I just kind of fell into it. We don't live together. And while he's as keen as a puppy for us to move in, if I'm honest, I can't ever see us doing that. Don't get me wrong, he's nice, but he's a bit annoying. He collects records for a hobby. He's got a garage full of them, and I don't fancy sharing a house with all these records. He's also got a parrot, and he eats with his mouth open. I've thought many times I should probably just dump him, but then he'll do something nice, like bring chips around on a Friday night when I'm knackered and I grant him a reprieve. I know I can do better than Adolphus, but I'm a bit lazy, and I thought that if I didn't give him any encouragement, which I don't, it'd just not bother coming back. But he seems to take that as some sort of challenge. I need to kick up the backside. Can you help me?" asks Primrose. Over to you.
Right. Mm. Number one, the dude collects records. That's a hit. Number two, he brings you chips on a Friday when you're knackered. That's another hit. Number three, he might have a bit of a nasal issue, which is why he's eating with his gob open. But get over yourself. And number four, you sound like a regular.
What about the parrot?
The parrot. Yeah.
Is it a parrot, a plus or a minus?
I don't know. It depends if the parrot shits everywhere.
Do you know
see,
what?
What I think, Primrose, you've got Adolphus hanging on there as almost like a put you on until you see somebody better.
Yeah.
And all people like that, they'll do for a while. Are you one of these people, Primrose, who can't be on their own ever?
It's a very fair point. I think a very fair point. And I'm between the two, because I agree, Si. A man that collects records, nothing wrong with that. That's cool. He's got an interest in music. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with sharing your house with records. I would be disappointed if he thought coming around on a Friday with a bag of chips was a perk, because that wouldn't do it for me. So I'm out with the chips.
I know, but you're posh, aren't you? You know what I mean? You'd have to have
You know that, posh, you got Lidl's nuts.
Fur
coat, no knickers.
I like a cheap bag of nuts, don't you worry about that. But I do think parrot and talking with your mouth or eating with your mouth open, I'm out the door. But she sounds I'm sorry, Primrose, I should be on your side, you know, female power and all, but I think you sound a bit of a whinge bag. If you don't like him, just be polite and say, sorry, you're not for me, and find somebody else that is better for you, because he doesn't sound that bad.
No, so it sounds as though Adolphus has got a life.
Yeah.
He's got hobbies, interests, he's got a pet he cares for, and he even cares to you to bring you some food.
Yeah.
If you don't like chips, tell him what you want, and I'm sure he'll bring it you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think you like mourning.
Yeah, yeah. Me too, I agree. Yeah, well, sorry, Primrose. So.
Yeah, yeah, she's a bit mean-spirited, Primrose, isn't she?
I don't mean lazy.
And anyway, you know, this great. I love parrots anyway. It's great. There's this one in Saltwell Park that tells you to f*** off.
It's hilarious.
He does.
Oh, my God.
He goes to walk past all these little kids, and this parrot's going, ah, f*** off. And you're like, did that parrot just say that?
There was one on Instagram this week, actually. There was a video of someone dropping a blanket down in front of the parrot, and every time the person dropped the blanket down, the parrot would go, peekaboo, and they did it again, peekaboo, and then the next time the person, owner, dropped it down again, they hid behind the sofa, and the parrot went, ah! Couldn't work it out. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
I had some friends, and... Well, acquaintances, really. And they kept a parrot in the kitchen. It was on this big stand, you know, like kind of in the corner. But the thing was, he was really nasty. He was really aggressive. But he just used to crap, you see, obviously off his perch. So the kitchen floor was covered with parrot poo. But the problem is, he wouldn't let anybody near to clean up or give him a nut or whatever. It was a bizarre thing, this parrot.
That's a pain.
Oh, it was, and he'd go for you. You know, if you forget he's there and you're just walking past, in the back of your neck.
That's horrible.
And it bloody hurts. My Auntie Hilda's neighbour had, in Lamesley, had a parrot. And I put my finger, and she said, don't put your finger in. So obviously I did. Yeah, brother, it properly bit. It hurts when they bite. Like, they're pretty strong things, parrots.
I do feel a bit sad, though. They are beautiful, beautiful birds with lovely big wingspans. They, A, shouldn't be in a cage, and B, shouldn't be in a kitchen.
I'm with you, Tash. I don't like that.
Yeah, get a budgie.
Yeah.
We always had budgies. And being northern, but you know, having budgies, and my dad used to breed budgies in the coal house.
Really?
Not him personally, but it would have, it'd show your budgies off on that. We had some belters when I was a kid. I had one called Sammy, he was nasty. But they had Joy, that was like a talking budgie. And I remember we got this record for the record player, and it was Mrs. Somebody Teaches Your Budgie to Speak, and he just repeated, you know, Mummy's Little Treasure. Mummy's Little Treasure. The idea was you put this record on and then leave it with the bird, you know, and then
Mummy's
Little Treasure. When you come back, he thinks he's clever. But Joy was my favourite budgie. He was lovely. He used to fly around the room and everything. It was nice. But he used to have a habit. My mum was doing the ironing once, you know, the chrome on the iron.
Yeah.
And Joy used to chase his reflection in the chrome, running up and down the ironing board. And my mum, when she went very well, she ironed his foot off by accident. So I had this one-legged budgie called Joy. But he was all right, except at night, sometimes at night, he'd be on his perch, but you know, they bring one leg up, but you forget didn't have a leg, so he did this little thud. And it was Joy on the floor because he brought his wrong leg up. His real leg up instead of his fantasy one. I love that bird.
God, that's an awful story. It's almost brilliant and awful. The other bit I liked about when you told that story, you did actually do a really good budgie impression. You went up the ironing board like that, and it was just how a little budgie would go.
And he'd be tapping with his beak, be tapping his reflection. But they do that with a mirror, don't they, as well?
Yeah.
We've had all sorts, Primrose. Thanks for your story with this one.
Yes, Primrose.
It sparked all sorts of discussion. So sad parrot and budgie stories to one side. Let's get a definitive answer for it here. Primrose, Uncle Si, what would you suggest?
Stop being such a mean, lazy divil and sort it out. Either commit to him or don't. But don't keep him hanging on. It's not fair.
And Poshtash?
I think either love him for what he comes with or politely say no thank you and go and find somebody else you might like more.
And Jerry the Budgie.
I can just agree with Si and Posh Tash.
Having said that, we'd like to thank her for her honesty. Because she knows herself quite well. And so that was it. Just leaving it on an up.
Over. And there's no point in writing to Si, you know, in a loving way, because he's got a record collection.
many records.
Oh, yes, he has. It's a big record collection. And I think you've got more hidden away somewhere, haven't you?
Yes, I have about another 3,000 albums.
Wow. I could just let you know, Sice, Primrose is calling you later to dump you.
I'm out.
He's down the chippy.
Yeah. With Polly.
With Polly.
All right, let's take a short break here.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the Agony Uncles a line.
Okay, welcome back to the Agony Uncles. Our next problem is called Height Difference Dilemma. One male and one female name needed. So a male name, Uncle Dave, if you could give us that. And Uncle Si, after your previous excellent name. I'm looking forward to this one. One female name, please. So male.
Brian.
And
Felicity.
This comes from Brian, who says, Dear Agony Uncles and the Princess Tasha, I am all of a dither and I require assistance. I've been single for way too long. And by taking Uncle Dave's previous podcast advice, I joined a club, well, volunteering at a local charity, and I met a lovely lady. Aww. Her name is Felicity. And she, like me, has been alone for a long time. We get on like a house on fire. She makes me laugh so much. However, there's one slight issue. I am 5'5" and a half. She is 6 feet tall. When we walk down the street together, I've noticed that people do look at us. I've heard a few nasty comments. I'm not worried for me. But as for Felicity, she's more than capable of looking after herself, as she's a brown belt in Taekwondo. However, I don't want to be an embarrassment to her. I've talked with her about this. She says she doesn't care. She's happy. And anyway, we're the same height lying down. How can I get a bit more confidence, please? Agony team, asks Brian. I want to enjoy this and not just worry about people looking all the time. Your thoughts, most welcome. Kindest regards, Brian. Over to you.
Oh, Brian, just take the love that's offered you. And, you know, there's not that much a disparity in height, but what does it matter anyway?
Yeah.
You know, it's love and there's, you know, I think that there's a myth, isn't there, that you know, the best blokes are 6'4", you know, and men like ladies who are delicate flowers that they can, you know, swamp and protect. It's not like that anymore, Brian. You know, it's just get on with it, have fun and love each other.
You could become a glam rock fan and wear 4-inch heels and platforms, you know, and big boots. But I'm with Uncle Dave. I mean, I think it's get a grip, Brian. Get a grip.
Yeah, I think, I don't know about, sorry, Sam. I was thinking that if she hasn't got a problem with it, then the problem is with the people looking. And yeah, it's nothing to do with your relationship. And you may be looking into it. If she's happy and you've discussed it with her, and as she says, you're fine lying down, then honestly, Brian, it's just a matter of getting your head around it, that there actually isn't a problem at all. You know, if you think other people are looking, let them look, you know, and they may be looking because you look like a great couple. They may be looking because she's so stunning. She may be looking because you're so handsome. You don't know why they're looking. You're presuming why they're looking. And it's not an issue for you, so don't let it be an issue.
Nobody took the piss out of Tom Cruise when he was with Nicole Kidman, did they? I do believe there's a height disparity there.
Yeah, by about 6 foot.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is, look, dude, you know, like, you're never going to see, so people pass you in the street, you're never going to see them again.
Yeah.
But what impact of them do you have on your life other than your paranoia? So get a hold of it, because if you don't, it's just so, get a hold of it, man, because you're just going to ruin it. For what? For other people looking at you. Come on, you're a bigger man than that, surely to God. I mean, even though you're 5'5".
I've also got, I've got quite a few friends who are really quite tall for women. And growing up as teenagers and you go out and you're looking to fancy a boy to fancy you, they often found that they presumed people didn't like a taller woman because they thought the man would want to be taller. So it kind of, the woman is grateful to be loved. They're as insecure about being tall sometimes as you think you might be insecure about being shorter than them. So it's actually not such a disaster. Lots of my friends are like, oh, I'm so tall, I'll never meet anybody because I need a man taller than me, or the smaller men won't go for me because they're so intimidated by me. And so actually, I think you found each other. Enjoy it.
Yeah, it's probably prejudice again, isn't it? And there's, you know, it's the 21st century. There's no room for prejudice, be it, you know, colour of your hair, your race, your you know, your height, your gender, you know, your disability or otherwise. You know, it's just nonsense. And you have to realise it is nonsense and stick two fingers up at them. That's what I would do.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then take lessons in Taekwondo if you're going to do that in the street. And you've got and you've found the perfect partner to do that because she is. It'd be great.
Well, there you go, Brian. Good advice. There's a great relationship there to be had. So enjoy. Make the most of it. Sounds fantastic.
Well, if you're down,
if you're down,
now don't get drunk.
Don't get drunk.
Just send an email
to the Agony Uncles.
Uncle Si will be pleased now because it's time to head to Confidential Corner. And this is called The One-Eyed Pokey Prodder. We need a male name and a female name. This time, Uncle Dave, could you give us the female name and Uncle Si the male name?
Brenda.
Brenda?
Felix.
Felix.
Gonna feel it, isn't he?
Oh, yes. Well, this comes from Brenda, who says, "Dear Hairy Bikers, I've loved your shows for a long time. You're both blokes. You're both honest. I need some honest, blokey advice. Me and Felix have been married for 9 months. It's our second time around. And before Felix, I was married for 20 years, so I like to think I know my way around a man's body. We cuddle a lot more than I did in my first marriage. Our favourite is the spoons with him behind me. When we're nodding off in bed at night, his old chap pokes me in the back a bit, but it's when it's asleep that it's worse. You see, Felix is lying there snoring away, dead to the world, but his old fella is wide awake. It moves around, prods and pokes about. It's got a mind of its own, and if I'm honest, it's a bit weird. I asked Felix about this, and he said he was, frankly, very proud of his little chap, who he says is clearly snuffling for truffles, as he puts it. He's also said, it's totally normal. But I don't think so. I don't remember this happening before. So, honest, hairy men of the world, fess up. Do willies have a mind of their own? And how can I stop it? Asks Brenda. Over to you.
Well, I believe technically it's termed as the panhandle effect. Which is one of life's great pleasures, I must say, being a fellow.
I'm slightly confused how Felix doesn't know. Right, so, okay. So he's asleep, and she isn't. And Felix's old chap is going on walkabout.
Well, he might be having a naughty dream.
Oh, yeah.
Inspired by Brenda's warmth.
Yes, yes.
Do you know what I mean? It'd set you off.
I wouldn't know though.
But I thought they did have a bit of a mind of their own in the evenings. I mean, isn't there, you know, you wake up in the morning often.
Oh yeah, but that's just your blood getting through your body, you know.
Which technically is taking your morning glory.
Yeah. But could that not be, could that not happen when he's fallen asleep? His body doesn't know it's morning, I don't know. Does that not happen anyway? I'm not a doctor, clearly. No idea.
Well, I have absolutely no idea. I can only talk by my own wandering old chap, and it doesn't wander when I'm asleep. Well, not that I'm aware of, anyway. And I've never heard anybody say that it has.
Maybe Felix is just super potent.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got more hormones than the average man, and he absolutely loves Brenda. You know, he can't get enough of Brenda.
What if Felix is faking sleeping? And actually, he's just trying it on. So he actually knows it's up and ready, but he's snoring away just to see if he gets lucky. So Brenda thinks he's asleep, but he's not.
Ooh, Tash, you woman, you.
Yeah. He's faking it to try and get some action.
Yeah. Well, what? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he's playing snooker in his sleep dreams.
You know? Trying to pot the last hole.
Wait,
118.
Wrong
game, isn't
it?
That's going to hurt. Brenda will say something about that one.
Yeah.
Back of the net, shouts Brenda.
I think
it's a lovely problem to have, actually.
I think it probably is. It probably is. And I mean, I know it might be a little bit irritating, but there's two things you can do to alleviate that. First of all, give it a slap. That'll soon wake him up. And number one. Or number two, don't do the spoon position so it's not getting down the little creases.
Yeah. Or act on it, turn over and enjoy it.
Oh, do you remember at the tour when we used to have to kind of appear to be stripped naked, Kingy?
Yes.
They made us wear these dancers' jock straps.
Yes.
Which is what a ballet dancer would wear to keep all the tackle in place.
Yeah.
Well, we had to wear them. But you are one of them. It doesn't matter what Felix's old chap was wanting to do. It couldn't do anything. it's a bit like a muzzle for it, you know.
It's like a chastity belt.
Yeah.
Is that what they use? You'll know, Dave, because you did makeup, didn't you? Is that what they use in the sex scenes for movies and films? Because clearly two people, even if they're faking it, you can't help if you start bollock naked together. You can't help but be slightly aroused, surely. So you must have to strap it so far down.
Well, you know, all the sex scenes I've done in movies, you know, I've kind of done okay, you know. You make it sound like that. No, I'll tell you, I always remember one actor, a lovely actor, who I can't name. He was young, handsome, and he said to the leading lady, he said, firstly, he said, and his father was a great actor too, and he said, my father gave me this piece of advice. He said, I have to tell you this, I apologise if I do get an erection, and I apologise if I don't. And, you know, he kind of softened the blow then. The closest I've got to a sex scene was, years ago, Lady Chatterley's Lover, and, donkeys years ago. And I was under the bed, and the idea was that, you see, the actor and actress, they're trying to get the cue for when she was meant to, you know, orgasm.
Okay.
Right? So, and he rolled up. He said, well, how do you know? Because I can't see the camera or anything. And they said, well, I was under the bed. So he said, Dave, could you pull her foot? I'll give you the signal. Pull her foot, and then she knows when to come. So I thought, like, all these years at university. Anyways, up under the cover, you know, and I'm there. And the floor manager went, wow. So I pulling like hell, pulling like hell. And all this bloke said, it's the wrong foot. And I was pulling his foot.
That's a good story.
That's typically you, that's
Well, I just wanted to get it over with, really. I'm trying to get some of my dignity. But no, I think most actors, no, they just go in the buff, don't they, Kingy?
Aye, they do. Yeah, they do. And also, you know, it's very difficult to get to, I would imagine, to get an erection when there's about 15 crew. Even if, as a first, what you would do is, Dave and I, if Dave and I were working together in that capacity, we'd always have a conversation with the director and go, look, so you'd have what's called a closed set. Yeah. So there'd be the absolute minimum amount of crew, and you'd clear the studio other than for that scene. And but then again, you've still got about six people there watching you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, and unless you're a porno star, that puts anybody off.
I think Olivia Colman told a wonderful story recently in an interview about how there was a recent movie she's just done, and someone had to put their hand between her legs. I think it was a lesbian scene, actually, and she had to muck around, and she decided to put a very wet sponge down there instead, because I think they all thought there'd be something to protect, and the person that put their hand down there went, Olivia Colman said it was the best bit of the whole movie.
I remember once we were doing a film in France, and there was this actor, he was Hungarian or something, was very kind of serious young man, and he had to do this nude scene with a very famous Hollywood actress, and for weeks before, he was in the gym every night at the hotel watching what was eating, had a tan, nervous as anything. And so anyway, what we did was because it'd be in France, we all got baguettes, so he walked onto set and they took his robe off him, and so we all got these baguettes out and just stood the baguettes on end like a salute of baguettes. You know, tried to cheer him up a bit. He cheered her up, but I think he was just like made him even worse.
Well, let's wrap up with Felix. Brilliant. And his wandering woolly. Any closing thoughts, Uncle Dave?
Well, I haven't been very well this year, and at moments I'm quite jealous of Felix.
Fair enough. Uncle Si?
A fly swat. So you lie there in the spoon and you just go, wake up! And I mean, look, it could lead to a whole new level of sexual experience as well. So I'm going to go with a fly swat.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And Posh Tash, do you have a view on this?
I think turn over and enjoy it.
Fair enough.
It's a win-win, isn't it?
Yeah, happy days. Happy days.
We've seen inside the excellent dark mind of Tash a few times today, haven't we?
We have.
Thinking, one day she'll be laying there and it might not happen, and then she'll have a whole other world of thoughts going, oh, he doesn't like me anymore. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah,
I'll
listen.
Never get it. Take it while you got it, love.
Exactly. And also, this is great because when that does happen, they'll write back in, so it keeps the show going. Do you know
what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Of course,
yeah. More problems. Let's create more agony. Come on.
Well, yeah, with a fly swatch, you'd be in jail.
As will you soon, Si.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
it's better than a cheese grater.
Oh, don't say that.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
Well, you know, solving all your problems does take its toll. It's time for me, Si, and Tash to have a rub down with a spurtle. Thanks so much. You need to listen to the previous episodes if you don't understand what it is. Thanks so much for writing in and sending in your troubles. It's great to hear from you. And it's super easy to get in touch. Just pop us an email and send it to agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
Then make sure you follow or subscribe so you don't miss the new ones when they pop into your popness. So until next week, it's goodbye from Tash.
Bye-bye.
It's goodbye from the thin white Duke himself.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me and me best mucker.
Catty bye.
Ta-ra.